الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين واجعلني من ورثة جنة النعيم واغفر لأبي إنه كان من الضالين ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I recited before you five du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. These five du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam a mention in Surah Ash-Shu'ara in the 19th juz of the Quran Kareem. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala mentioned these five du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the context of his battle of Tawheed with the members of his family. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, Watlu alayhim naba'a Ibrahim. Say to the people, relate to the people, the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the information of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Is qala li abihi wa qawmihi ma ta'budun. His people were engaged in idol worship. So he confronted them. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam believed in tawheed, in the oneness of Allah. He resented kufr and shirk. And more so, with the people that are right around him, members of the family. So he confronted them and he asked them, what is this you people are worshipping? Family people told, نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. We worship the idols and we go around the idols. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then told to them, هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِسْتَدْعُونَ أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَدُرُّونَ. What kind of gods are these? Are they able to cause any benefit to you? When you call out to them, are they able to listen to you? Are they able to cause any benefit and harm to you? Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam expounded his belief and he said, فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All these idols that you people are worshipping, they are all my enemies. I only got one friend. فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My friend is رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And see the qualities of my friend. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ وَالَّذِي أَتْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. He mentioned five qualities of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah is He who created me. I was non-existent. I owe my existence to none other than Almighty Allah. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَدِينِ. Allah created me. So why should I not worship Allah? Allah will guide me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. And when I'm hungry, Allah give me food to eat. When I'm thirsty, Allah give me water to drink. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I'm ill, when I'm sick, I turn to Allah. That condition came from Allah. Allah is the one that brings solution to my condition, and Allah gives me shifa. And most importantly, when I stand in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِي أَتْمَعْ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَةِ يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. My hope is, when I stand in the court of Allah, my wish, my expectation is, because I brought iman in Allah, I know of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah, Allah will forgive me on the day of qiyamah. So what you people are worshipping idols? What did candle idols do? See where is Allah, look at where those idols are. And then, when a person has recognition in Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he has marifat, he knows who Allah is. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, after proclaiming his aqidah, his belief, he makes 5 requests to Almighty Allah. He says to Allah, Rabbi habli hukman wa alhiqni bi salihin. This first request, oh Allah, grant me ilm. The word hukman here, according to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, it means ilm. Give me knowledge of deen and sharia. Give me knowledge of yourself. And that too, the word that he did, habl. Bless me, gift me. Allah, gift me knowledge. Wal hikni bi salihin. And after you have gifted me knowledge, then join me now with the pious people. The natural consequence of knowledge ought to be that a person becomes nek and pious. First request Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam make, Rabbi habli hukman wal hikni bi salihin. وَاجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. After you gave me knowledge, and you joined me with the salihin, let me lead my life in such a way that I lead a true legacy for the people to come later on. When the people look at my life, they will know that I led a truthful, honest life, a life of tawheed. So Allah, leave a true legacy for me. A legacy of truthfulness. After I leave the world, people will think about me and they'll know that I was truthful to you. وَاجْعَلْنِي مِن وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. And when I leave this dunya, when I come to the akhirat, Allah, make me among the heirs of Jannatul Na'im. Jannat has many, many names, and one of the names of Jannah, and one of the high positions of Jannah, like Jannatul Firdaus, is Jannatul Na'im. One of the du'as we should be making to Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka jannatil firdaus, Allahumma inni as'aluka jannatil na'im. May Allah grant every one of us jannatul firdaus, Allah grant every one of us jannatul na'im. Great na'mats and bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Jannah. What du'a he makes to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but it was his du'a which Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refused him to continue making the du'a. Waghfir li abi innahu kana min ad-dallin. Allah, forgive my father. He's deviated. Instead of worshipping you, believing in you, believing in your oneness, he's believing in the idols. Forgive him. Later on, another verse of the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala stopped him. Don't make that dua. Then the fifth dua he makes to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَسُونَ. Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, when you resurrect the people, do not humiliate me, do not disgrace me. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about the day of Qiyamah, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعْ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. It is at that day where a person's wealth and a person's children will not avail him, will not be of any benefit. Everybody for themselves alone in the court of Allah have to answer in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then the verse comes, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Nothing will avail a person on the day of Qiyamah. The only thing that will benefit a person on the day of Qiyamah will be a sound heart. Qalbun Salim. What is this Qalbun Salim? 2 explanations to it. One is, a person must have correct aqidah, correct belief, correct thought about deen and shariat. I repeatedly mentioned that if a person wants to tread the path of suluk and tasawuf, wants the marifat of Allah, he wants the pearls of recognition of Allah in his heart, he wants to get closer to Allah, you can never ever be able to achieve that with incorrect belief. Your aqidah must be correct. You have the right belief, now you work on your aqeedah and get close to Allah. With wrong belief, you can never get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And therefore it is most important, vital for us, that we understand we are from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There are many, many forces out there that are propagating corrupt beliefs. And then you may just get influenced with the writing. You may just get influenced with the way people talk. You may just get influenced with certain radio shows. You may get influenced with certain articles that are written. You just read that article, and just sometimes with one article, you could lose your entire belief, aqidah. Be guarded. What article you read, who you hear from. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi advised, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْذُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. This religion of yours, it is deen. You won't just take any type of food in your system, especially if your body reacts in a negative way to certain type of foods. You'll be careful the type of food you eat. Likewise, the information that goes into us, we need to be very, very careful with that. What type of information? A human being by nature is stealthy. What information comes in him, the person reacts according to information in his mind. So we need to be very, very careful with that. Guard our aqeedah. We are from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And then, the second explanation to Qalbun Salim is to remove malice from the heart. Dirt from the heart. If a person wants to get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and there's dirt inside the heart, then you are creating your own obstacles. You can't get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala when there's dirt inside your heart. Another explanation to Qalbun Salim, that you enter in the court of Allah with a sound heart, that is, you have purity in your heart. There's no dirt. There's no animosity. No ill feeling in your heart for the next person. And then you perform your salat with such a pure, clean heart. See how quickly you ascend the stages of ruhaniyat and spirituality. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Hadrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah, he came to Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Hadrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, identify for me a young boy who could help me and assist me. So Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala was married to the mother of Ummu Sulaim. The mother of Anas, that is Ummu Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Abu Talha went to Ummu Sulaim and told Ummu Sulaim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, identify a young boy that will help me, that will assist me in my cause. Ummu Sulaim thought, who could be more fortunate than my own son, hand over my own son to be khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to help and assist Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, young boy at age of 10, he served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, then he was 20 years of age. So on one occasion, Ummu Sulaim, the mother, she came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, make dua for Anas, he's your khadim. He makes a khidmat, make dua for him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made two duas for him. Allah, grant him barakah in his wealth and grant him barakah in his life. And most definitely the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be accepted. There was so much of barakah in the life of, in the wealth of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had orchards in Medina to Munawwara. And according to one riwayat in Bukhari Sharif, that there wasn't any person that had more orchards than Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the other people's orchards, they used to bear fruits once a year. The orchard of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to bear fruits twice a year. Barakat of dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how much of life he had, barakah in his life. With his own hands, he buried so many of his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He would make tawaf around the Baytullah Sharif, and hundreds of his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren behind him making tawaf around the Baytullah Sharif. Ripe old age, not a single tooth of his has fallen off. That's the barakat of the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and making khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi, he was a special khadim of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a special advice is given to a special khadim. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion told him, Ya Bunay, إن قدرت أن تصبح وتمسي وليس في قلبك غش يا حد فافعل يا بني ذلك من سنتي ومن أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة. Oh my son, if it is possible that you spend the morning and the evening in such a way that there's no ill feeling, there's no animosity, no negative feeling in your heart for the next person, let it be so. It shouldn't be that you have ill feeling for a single human being. If it is possible to lead your life like that, let it be so. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told him, oh my son, that is my way. Heart is clean. No ill feeling in my heart for the next person. In fact, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even told the Sahaba, nobody but come and tell me anything negative by Sahaba. When I see them, I don't have any ill feeling in my heart for the next person. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told to Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Ya Bunay, ذَلِكَ بِسُنَّةِ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّةِ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. That is my way of life. Having the heart clean, no ill feeling for the next person. That person who loves me, he would practice on this. He would not have ill feeling in the heart for the next person. That's my way of life, and that's how he would deal with other people. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever has muhabbat for me, and here contextually, the muhabbat refers to adopting the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in keeping a pure and clean heart, that person will be with me like this in Jannah and Paradise. May Allah make every one of us among those people that have the rifaqat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, companionship of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannah. But that could come, we have to pay the price of it. Hit the pain in our heart, clean our heart, remove the dirt and ill feeling in our heart that we have for any person in our heart. There will be misgivings, there will be misunderstandings, but if it is possible, address the issues, remove the dirt, remove that ill feeling from the hearts. And sometimes we exert ourselves in ibadat, like in i'tikaf. MashaAllah, we increase the tilawat of our Quran. Tonight is the odd night, we probably will stay awake the entire night. We will exert ourselves in ibadat, probably some, our feet will pain, our legs may swell. But one easy way of getting close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, exert yourself to the best of your ability, deed of the day, the mujahada. But another easy way to get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, remove the dirt from the hearts. While we are focusing on our physical ibadat, then focus also on the ibadat of the heart to remove the dirt from the hearts. There's a hadith in Ibn Majah Sharif. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated with the Sahaba, and there was one Sahabi, he probably just made wudu, and simple person, he's holding his shoes, and he happened to pass by in front. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to a Sahaba, this person is a Jannati. It happened one day. Second day, same thing happened. Again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned he's a Jannati. Third day, same thing happened. Again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the Jannati. When Allah the Rasul is saying about a particular person, the Jannati, and the desire of the Sahaba was to earn Jannah, like it is your and my desire to earn Jannah. So, naturally the Sahaba would want to know, what is it in that particular person that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam proclaimed him to be a Jannati? So, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he decided to follow the Sahabi. He made an excuse, and then he told to him, brother, can I stay in your house for 3 days? He didn't tell him the reason. He said, can I? So the Sahabi welcomed me, you can stay in my house. The purpose of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala was to observe the Sahabi. What is he doing so special that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned he's a Jannati? So he stayed 3 days. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala observed, this person, a normal person, reading his 5-time namaz. At night he would read the Isha namaz, make his wudu and sleep away. No tahajjud, nothing. No tahajjud, nothing. Completely, just sleeping whole night. With the exception of, sometime in the middle of the night you'd wake up and we'd turn from one posture to another posture. When you wake up, your eyes open, then you say Allah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah. You just made a little bit zikr and then you sleep again. 3 days passed by. Now Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala had to leave from there. So he tells the Sahabi, you know, I made an excuse to stay with you 3 days. It was just an excuse. But the reason staying with you is, I heard Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mention that you are a Jannati. And I wanted to see what special act you do that you earn this position of being a Jannati. But I didn't see anything special in you. Nothing khas. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Asad turned his back and moved away. The Sahabi called him, come here. There's one thing in me. Maybe I don't exert myself in ibadat, but there's one thing I do. And that is that I don't have ill feeling in my heart for any person. No dirt in my heart. And this was it. Not exhausting yourself in ibadat, but exhaust yourself and make an effort to remove dirt from your heart for the next person. Anyone that we see, we may be able to smile at that person, we may have a clean heart, there may be misunderstanding, there may be misgivings, but forget all that and keep your heart clean from that person. And this was the nature of the Sahaba. They were human beings, they also had misunderstanding with each other, but they didn't leave the dirt inside the hearts. I just give one incident and I will terminate with that. In Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab al-Maghazi, there's an incident in the battle of Uhud or battle of Badr. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah mentioned one incident. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Mubarak wife of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was married to a sahabi, Hazrat Khunais radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Khunais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became shaheed in the battle of Badr or in the battle of Uhud. So Hazrat Umar, she became a widow. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, their father, his fikr, his concern, my daughter became a widow and she could get married again. So his concern was that let me get my daughter married again. So first person he approached was Osman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He told Osman, Hafsa became a widow. She finished her iddat. I'm proposing her in marriage to you. Osman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after some time, came back with the answer. And he told to Hazrat Umar that, La hajata li al-yawm, I don't want to get married. There's no need for me to get married. I'm fine as I am. So naturally, Umar is proposing. So this is a little bit negative feeling because the refusal came. Then Umar radiallahu ta'ala approached Abu Bakr Siddiq. Abu Bakr, my daughter Hafsa became a widow. She finished her iddat. I'm proposing her in marriage to you. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not come back with any answer. No, yes, no, no. That is worse than Osman radiallahu ta'ala situation because at least Osman said no. Ya Abu Bakr Siddiq, no, yes, no, no. Now imagine, like, if somebody has to, as you got a daughter, you're proposing your daughter to someone, and the person doesn't say yes, doesn't say no, you look like a fool. I shouldn't have even made a proposal. So here, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made a proposal to Abu Bakr Siddiq, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. After some time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed for Hadha Hafsa. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Hadha Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she was included among the Azwaj Mutahharat, the most fortunate woman that a woman could ever be, being among the Mubarak wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, Abu Bakr Siddiq met Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and told to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now obviously Umar radiallahu had some negativity in his heart for Abu Bakr. No, yes, no, no. Didn't even respect the proposal I made. So Abu Bakr Siddiq then came and clarified the issue. And this is what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. In qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsi wa laysa fi qalbika ghashun li ahad faf'al. If it is possible to remove any enmity, any ill feeling, misunderstanding, do so. So Abu Bakr Siddiq went to Umar and told Umar, you proposed your daughter to me and I didn't say anything. Umar mentioned yes. You didn't say yes, you didn't say no. So then Abu Bakr explained himself. When you proposed your daughter Hafsa to me, in those days Nabi Sahib was talking secretly to me about wanting to propose to Hafsa. And it was a secret. So I couldn't say you yes, I couldn't say you no. And the information I had, that was an amanat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I thought to myself that if Nabi Sam would not get married to Hafsa, then I would have accepted the proposal and I would have got married to Hafsa. But I'm happy for Hafsa that she got the best husband that a woman could ever have. And in this way, how Abu Bakr Siddiq removed that little negativity that was there. In conclusion, brothers, I'll just give an example of a pure heart. You know, you have a container, and that container, it's got little dust and dirt in it. Put the most purest of waters there. The water probably is chemicalized. Best of water inside there. Still too, because there's dirt in that container, that pure water is not going to be of any effect. It will still come out dirty, it will contaminate. And then you have a container that is pure and clean, shining, no dust in it. And put normal water, not even chemicalized water. That water is more useful than a chemicalized water that is in a container that have dust in it. Exactly in the same way. We got our pots, we got our containers. We remove all the dirt. Little ibadat is sufficient for us to reach Allah quickly. And if you got dirt inside our hearts, then we can exhaust ourselves. We're going to create our own barriers and obstacles in getting closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. These are the days that we are making dua. Allah, make us close. How many times we make dua? Allah, you make us ours. You become mine. Get us close to you. Grant us love and muhabbat. We doing all that, asking all that, but the barriers and the obstacles from there, that we're not removing. Remove that barrier, remove that obstacle, then make dua to Allah Ta'ala. See how quickly you'll ascend to Almighty Allah. Allah grant every one of us his closeness, muhabbat, ma'rifat, and Allah Ta'ala keep every one of us pure-hearted. Allah must put love and muhabbat in our families. Now it is Mubarak days that are coming in. Eid will be also coming in. From now, start preparing in the houses. Eid is an ideal opportunity. It's a happy occasion where we look for opportunities. We look for occasions where we can remove misgivings. It doesn't come every day. Ramzan is there. It's a month. The hearts are soft. So start preparing from now. Misgiving, misunderstanding with anyone. How we can invite him on Eid. How we can give a gift. How we can remove those kind of enmity and animosity from the hearts. And in that way, family people try to remove dirt, misgivings, misunderstandings. Allah must put love and muhabbat in our communities. Allah must put love and muhabbat in our organizations. Allah must put love and muhabbat among the ulama. Allah must put love and muhabbat in the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just focus on one thing. Remove that ill feeling. And when we want to get close to Allah, now the path is very, very open. Allah grant us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.